Welcome to the Bethany Community Church Podcast for August 23rd, 2015. This week's sermon is titled, Loyalty Matters.
Good morning. 2 Timothy 4, 9-17. Do your best to come to me quickly, for Demas, because he loved this world, has deserted me and has gone to Thessalonica. Crescens has gone to Galatia and Titus to Dalmatia. Only Luke is with me. Get Mark and bring him with you, because he is helpful to me in my ministry. When you come, bring the cloak that I left with Carpus at Troas and my scrolls, especially the parchments. Alexander the metalworker did me a great deal of harm. The Lord will repay him for what he has done. You too should be on your guard against him, because he strongly opposed our message. At my first offense, no one came to my support, but everyone deserted me. May it not be held against them. But the Lord stood at my side and gave me strength, so that through me, the message might be fully proclaimed, and all the Gentiles might hear it, and I was delivered from the lion's mouth.
Thank you, Sandy. I want to talk to you today about having a life of maximum impact on other people. And releasing the other people in your life to have a positive maximum impact on you. I don't know about you, but I don't want to just be a great person. I want that to do that too. I want to be a part of a great group. I want to be a part of a great community. I want to be a part of something bigger than myself. I want to be connected with great people. In this series, we've been talking about the red carpet. The red carpet is a metaphor for the place inside of you that you reserve for a place of honor. That you put the people there that you believe are special. You put the people there, you shine the spotlight on them, you give them, in your mind, the award, and they're people that you honor. And hopefully, by this point in the series, we've gotten the celebrities off the stage and we've put them in the audience or somewhere else where they belong. And so we got Tom Brady and Matthew McConaughey and Justin Bieber and all these people kind of in that category where they belong. They're celebrities. Their purpose in life is to entertain us. That's all. Their purpose in life is not to be our role models. Their purpose in life is to entertain us. As long as they do that, I love finger style guitar picking. When I need to relax, I go to iTunes and Apple Music and listen to finger style guitar picking. I know that probably doesn't turn anybody else on in this room, right? But the kids gave me a gift last summer to go hear Tommy Emmanuel. That was one of my bucket list things in life, to watch Tommy Emmanuel. I don't know what it is about Tommy Emmanuel's guitar playing, but it just touches a place deep in my soul. I don't expect anything from Tommy Emmanuel but that. I don't know how many people he sleeps with. I don't know what kind of drugs he's on. I have no idea. It's the people in this room that I care about. It's the people in this room that I look up to. It's the people in this room that I want to be my role models. I want to be my companions. I want you to be my mentors. And I want to be all that for you too sometimes. So today, I want to talk to you about a specific quality that will cause you to have maximum impact on others and will release other people around you to have a maximum impact on you. I don't know if you realize it, there's a lot of good stuff around you. There's a lot of smarts around you. Right here, and this is a small summer crowd, but there's a lot of smarts in here. There's a lot of wisdom in this room. There's a lot of love and compassion in this room. There's a lot of what you need to get through your life. We are the body of Christ. Let's say that together. We are the body of Christ. So today I want to talk to you about a specific quality, a specific virtue. I want to talk to you today about loyalty. Now, loyalty is a very interesting quality. Loyalty, the problem with loyalty will occur with the best people in your life, the people that are closest to you. You really won't have a problem with your competition. It's the employees in your company that cause you problems. You really won't have a problem with it's not the couple next door that impacts your marriage. It's you and your spouse that determines what kind of marriage you have. It's not the atheist and the humanist that are keeping the church from growing more. It's the church members that are keeping the church from growing more. It's not your enemies, your adversaries, your worst enemy, the person that hates you, that's limiting your success. It's your best friends that are limiting your success or not limiting it. It's your family. Well, you all knew that already, right? It's the people that you're blood related to that are limiting your success. It's not the person you can't stand and the person that can't stand you. We need adversaries, you know. We need the evil villain in our life. That's very important. That's very important to psychological balance, is to always have a villain. So you don't want to get rid of your adversaries. You don't want to get rid of the people that are against you and you're against them. You don't want to get rid of that because that would make you would be psychologically imbalanced. You need that, right? These couple of you are smiling, the Armstrongs, they know that's true. You see, here's the problem in companies and families and churches and groups and all this stuff is we're like a bunch of crabs. You know, I'm told that you don't have to put a lid on a crab cage because every crab will keep another crab from getting out. When one crab tries to escape, another grabs and pulls him down. That's the way churches and families operate. Because there's something wrong. Well, what are you doing ascending? I'm not going to let you ascend. Well, you're trying to prosper. I got to pull you back down here with us, right? Because it's just, we just have this scarcity mentality. There's only so much authority to go around. I got to make sure she doesn't get too much. There's only so much blessing to go around. I got to make sure he doesn't get too much. There's only so much money. I got to make sure she doesn't get too much. I got to keep everything balanced, right? That's what we do. That's what we do as human beings. But when we're loyal, we change. When we really understand loyalty, we start to champion one another. We start to get happy. Someone drives up in the new Mercedes, we get happy. We hope they're able to pay for it. We hope they haven't gone into debt over there up to their eyeballs to have it. But we hope they were able to pay cash for it. We rejoice with those who rejoice. We weep with those who weep when we understand this awesome, amazing quality. It's what Paul was concerned about. That's what Paul was concerned about when he noticed this is something that the great apostle Paul, and if you're not a student of the Bible and you don't read the Bible, it's fine. We're really glad you're here because this is a great place to get familiar with the Bible. But you may not even understand, how much Paul means to the average Christian. How much Paul means to the church, but Paul is the guy who brought us the revelation of God's grace. Paul is the guy who brought us understanding of the future. He brought us more than anyone the understanding of who Jesus is and what Jesus means to us. So Paul, let's not overlook this text today. And we're going to get back to it in the end of the message today. But look at Paul really, really valued relationships. And he really valued loyalty so much that he wrote it for everybody to read about the people that abandoned him and the people who stuck with him. Man, I think if I read that letter, I go, I'm going to make sure I stay on Paul's good side because he's going to tell on me. You know, he's going to write a letter that the whole world can read if I treat him shabbily. What if that happened to us? That wouldn't be so cool, would it? When we're loyal, we don't hear someone's idea and act agreeable. that when they walk away, turn and go, you know, I really love that guy, but that was a dumb idea. We don't do that when we're loyal. When we're loyal, we don't let you complain about your child's teacher and just get in there and the groveling with you, and isn't that terrible what they're doing? And then when you walk away, we go, boy, she's a terrible parent. She doesn't know what she's doing. She doesn't know. She needs to discipline her child. That's not what loyal people do. We're not loyal when we listen to someone complain about our church. And then to somebody else, we go, you know, they're so rebellious. But we listen, you know. Somebody said everybody who gossips should be hung up by their tongues. And I say everybody who listens should be hung up by their ears. You know, that's what I think. Loyal people don't gossip. We don't do that. Now, you know, the Bible says faithful are the wounds of a friend. A friend won't talk behind your back. They'll tell you to your face where you need to change. When they're hurt, when they're offended, they're going to inform you. They're going to let you know. See, a relationship without candor isn't loyal. It's codependent. Sometimes we get confused between loyalty and codependency. Codependency is I ignore your destructive behaviors. I lie to you and tell you it's okay when it's not okay. I cover up for you. You're drunk all night, but I call into your boss and tell him you were sick. I cover up for you. I don't tell you the truth. I tell the truth to somebody else that I should have told you. That's not loyalty. That's a codependency. And another thing about candor, and candor is a part of a loyal relationship, is candor is not rudeness. Some people think they're candid because they're rude. They're blunt and rude and inappropriate, and they think that's candid. Now, candor is vulnerability. Candor is when I risk opening up to you about how I really feel about an opinion that I have that's maybe different than yours, and I risk you hurting me back by telling you the truth about how I really feel. Or I risk some dark secret in my life to you. And when I do that, I'm being vulnerable. And vulnerability is the key to power in relationships. Vulnerability is the key to going from being a bunch of individuals to being a team. And being a mighty, mighty force that will impact the community for the Lord Jesus Christ and impact the world about us when we, as people of God, become vulnerable to one another and we let down our guards and we tell the truth to one another. It is such a powerful, powerful thing. When we're loyal, we don't show up for people when we feel like it. We show up when we don't feel like it. When we're loyal, we don't disappear when we feel like it. When we're loyal, we don't let a company invest tens of thousands of dollars into training us and then jump ship for a 5% raise somewhere else. We need a revival of loyalty. When we're loyal, we don't work at one pace when the owner's in the building and a totally different pace when they're out of the building. When we're loyal, we don't refuse to invest ourselves in a client just because another salesman's going to get the commission when we're loyal. When we're loyal, we don't make excuses for not doing what we said we would do and not being where we said we would be. The people that I treasure the most in my life are the people who show up when they say they're going to show up, do what they say they're going to do. Nobody can always show up when they say they're going to. But I know this will be new information. They have these things now called cell phones. A lot of us have them. And you can just, this will be a growth moment for some. You can actually, when you're not going to make it for an appointment, you can actually call and say, I'm not going to make it, or I'm going to be late. It's cool. You ought to try it this week, okay? You can actually let people know, I'm not going to make it today. Somebody's sick. You know, that's building an environment of trust, an environment of loyalty, and it does some amazing things. Timothy Kenningham and two other writers, Lurzen Aksoy and Luke Williams, I'm sure that you wanted to know that, wrote a book called Why Loyalty Matters. The tagline for the book reads, "The groundbreaking approach to rediscovering happiness, meaning, and lasting fulfillment in your life and work." I agree with them. Fred Reichheld, the high priest of loyalty, he's called, wrote a book called Loyalty Rules. His book came out in 1996. The same year his book came out, an article came out in the Wall Street Journal with a great big headline in the Wall Street Journal, which read, "Loyalty is dead, dead, dead." That's exactly what it said with a big old exclamation mark at the end. You know, that book, in spite of that headline, that book instantly became a bestseller. Why? Because we are hungry for loyalty. We are hungry for trust. David Williams, an economic writer, attributes the success of the following companies to loyalty: Harley-Davidson, the MBNA, Enterprise Rent-A-Car, the Vanguard Group, Southwest Airlines, Cisco Systems, Northwestern Mutual, Chick-fil-A, SAS, the New York Times, and Intuit. He attributes it entirely to customer and employee loyalty. You know, the MBNA publishes its customer retention rate at 97%. Harley-Davidson, you know, doesn't measure its loyalty of its customers by how many purchase their motorcycles. They measure the loyalty of their customers by how many have Harley-Davidson tattooed on their body. True. It actually says, here's a quote in Harley-Davidson's annual report: "Retention is for wimps. We measure the percent of customers who have our name tattooed on one of their body parts." Napoleon Hill said, "A lack of loyalty is one of the major causes of failure in every walk of life." What I'm preaching to you in this series, and what I'm preaching today, is join a team. Join a team. Don't be afraid to join a team. Don't be afraid to connect your life with other people. Don't be afraid to become a part of something big. Don't be a part of becoming something great, because we have a great big job to do. I don't know if you've read the papers lately. I don't know if you watch the news. I don't know if you've watched the internet and watch what's going on in the world around us. But we have a great big task to do and a great big job to do. And we can't do it alone. We can't do it as individuals. We can do it as a group. We can do it as a community. You can do it as a company. You can do it as a family. We can do it as a church. Loyalty is what the Apostle Paul was thinking when he said, "Demas has forsaken me. Only Luke is with me. Timothy, come quickly. Bring John Mark with you." There's a story there. Boy, there's a story there. John Mark had abandoned them in a journey previously, but Paul hadn't given up on him. "Bring John Mark with you. Alexander the coppersmith has done me evil. Avoid him." When you walk into someone's life as everybody else is walking out, that's loyalty. Loyalty is when you confront a friend to their face, but you champion them behind their back. Loyalty is when we move beyond the biggest driver of human problem, and that is self-preservation, and we make it our business to preserve relationships with the best people in our life. Loyalty is when we move beyond the second biggest driver of human existence, and that is opportunism. I love this quote: "Everybody riding with you ain't riding with you. Let the gas run out and see who will help push." I heard this story recently, and I related to it because of our little Christian school here and our little basketball team. This is a pastor named Rob McNutt. He pastors in, I believe, in New York State now. And Pastor Rob McNutt was a youth pastor and a basketball coach in a tiny Christian school in Nova Scotia. And one day, you know, Nova Scotia is not exactly a bastion of basketball anyway. People play hockey up there. But one day, all these, this motley crew of students in this little D4 up there, it's D1, 2, 2, D3, D4. D1's the big schools, D4 is the little schools. And one day, this boy shows up to play, join the basketball team. And Dan, you'll relate to this. His name was Dan Giro. And he knew so little about basketball. He would bounce the ball, and when it would come back into his hand, he would hold it. He didn't even know you were supposed to dribble a basketball. So it looked pretty hopeless, as it usually was for this little school, and they never won very many games. Nothing really great happened to this little Christian school. So he begins to coach all these boys, including Dan Giro. But he began to notice something, that Dan Giro had natural ability. It wasn't long before Dan Giro was outscoring everybody on the team. It wasn't long before he was outscoring everybody in the league. 3 straight years, Dan Giro was the best basketball player in the league because he became such an amazing ball handler, shooter, defense person, every single aspect of basketball, Dan Giro became great. 3 years, he stayed in this little Christian school with this youth pastor coach. 4th year, the biggest school in the area, the biggest D4, D1 school came, called up Dan Giro, said, "We want you to come and play for us." That's the big moment. That's the big moment. He's going to get seen by more college scouts. It looks like the thing to do. Coach McNutt was holding his breath. What's he going to do? Dan Giro calls that coach back up and goes, "You know what? Thanks for inviting me, but nah. I'm going to stay with my team." And you know, I wish I could tell you that the end of the story is Dan Giro had a great NBA career. That's 18 years ago that happened. I wish I could tell you that Dan Giro had a great career. I wish I could tell you that he's the CEO of some company. He may be. I don't know. But what I want to point out to you, that 18 years later, Pastor Rob McNutt is still talking about the boy who was loyal. 18 years later, I guarantee you, all of those students who played with Dan Giro are still talking about that moment when Dan Giro said, "I want to stay with my team." You want people to talk about you 20 years from now? Be loyal. Be faithful. Be committed. Stick with something. Stick with some people. Don't always be an opportunist, all right? Somebody say amen this morning. Loyalty is love plus faithfulness. Loyalty is love plus faithfulness. You can have affection for people, but never take that next step. Loyalty is affection plus action. Loyalty is feelings of love and adoration plus commitment. How many of you have ever heard the story of Hachiko? See the movie a few years ago? I guess it wasn't a big hit. Hachiko was a dog. Back in 1924, there was a professor in Tokyo, agricultural professor at Tokyo University, who picked up a dog one day. It's an Akita. I don't know. I'm not a dog person, but some of you know what an Akita is. And he picked up a dog. It was an Akita. And that dog would, every day, would meet him at the train station. He would come home from work at the train station, Hachiko was the dog's name. Hachiko would always be at the train station every day. Well, in 1925, that professor had a cerebral hemorrhage while he was at work and didn't show up. Hachiko shows up. The dog doesn't show up. That dog showed up every day for 9 years, 9 months, and 15 days. 9 years, 9 months, 15 days, Hachiko shows up at the same time to meet his master who never showed up. And only after 9 years, 9 months, and 15 days, Hachiko died. Now, if you go to Tokyo, if you go to that train station, there is a statue of Hachiko in front of the train station. And if you tell anyone in Tokyo, if you want to meet them someplace, you know, around here, meet me at the Dunkin' Donuts, which can be very confusing. But in Tokyo, if you want to meet with someone, say, meet me at Hachiko. Every person in Tokyo knows about a faithful dog. I want to be like that dog. I wrote a song for my I told about my childhood pastor, C.W. Goforth. I had another childhood pastor who was earlier than that, Earl J. Rogers. I received Jesus Christ in the ministry of Earl J. Rogers at Full Gospel Assembly of God Church in McKinney, Texas. What a great man. Earl J. Rogers was a prince. He was a prince. He used to come eat and drink coffee at my dad's restaurant, and it was old-fashioned. This is old-fashioned pastoring, old-fashioned. I mean, if I had an earache, I can't tell you the times. I used to have chronic earaches all the time. My mother would call Brother Rogers. Brother Rogers would drive over to our house, anoint me with oil, and pray for me. It's the kind of man he was. No question about it. He pastored Full Gospel Assembly of God for 33 years. And there's no question he did more funerals, more weddings than anyone in the history of McKinney, Texas. And I was thinking about him one day, and back when I used to write songs, I wrote these words. He never had his own television show, and I never heard his voice on the radio, but he opened up the church door the night that I got saved. God, thank you for the man who was faithful to the plans you made. I want to be faithful. I want to be committed. I want to be where people, I say I'm going to be, when I'm going to be there, and I want to be humble when I can't make it. Let's talk a minute about the problem of consumerism. Consumerism isn't all your fault, by the way. What is consumerism? Consumerism is you're always looking, and I'm always looking, for what I want for the best price at the greatest convenience. I mean, we're consumers. Consumerism is antithetical. It's anti-loyal. Consumerism is anti-loyalty. I mean, this week I needed another charging cable for all my devices, right? I could go to Best Buy and support the brick-and-mortar store in my neighborhood and pay $18 for that thing and have to drive across town and stand in line to pay for it. Or I can go on my computer out to Amazon and literally, this is what I did. I'm not loyal. I did it. $7 on Amazon, and the next day, 24 hours, a FedEx, well, on a Saturday, FedEx walks into my office and hands me a box with my lightning cable. I got all that service for $7. And you know, I'm in a business. I don't want to say what the business is because I don't want to throw anybody on the table, but I'm in a business this week. I was doing business. I was a customer. I had an appointment at 2 o'clock. 2 o'clock. I was on time. I walked in at 2 o'clock. Standing in front of me was a woman making small talk. Small talk. I mean tiny, microscopic, small talk. With the lady on the other side of the counter. And she didn't quit talking until 2:06. 2:06! And there were other things going on in that place that I was having this inner conversation. This is so unprofessional. When I need this product again, I'm going somewhere else. 6 minutes late. What are they thinking? Amazon gets me a lightning cable in 24 hours for $7, and I'm getting ready to spend $85 here, and they're 6 minutes late. Well, you know, I don't think we can cure our consumerism when it comes to buying lightning cables. I mean, if I go to a restaurant and the food's horrible, I'm not going to keep going back out of loyalty. If the prices are twice as much and the food's rotten, I'm not going to keep going to that restaurant because I feel loyal. I'm not going to keep, and by all means, I'm not going to drink bad coffee because I feel loyal. You kidding me? Life's too short. But don't do that to your friends. Don't be a consumer with your church. Don't be a consumer with the people you work with. Be a friend. Don't take that mentality. So I know it's all around us. It's the sports world has become so consumer. I mean, we don't root for players anymore. We root for laundry because you don't know who's going to be on the team next year because of free agency. Free agency has totally made it difficult to root for a certain guy, and you're fortunate. We're very fortunate in New England, especially with our football team, that we got a few guys that they're going to keep on the team. But boy, almost everybody else is expendable. You don't know who's going to be carrying the ball, who they're going to be throwing it to this year. You just don't even know, because as soon as someone gets overpriced or as soon as they can get more money somewhere else, they go somewhere else. That's okay in sports. That's okay when you're buying tires. That's okay when you're buying charging cables. But the problem with consumerism is that it's an extreme example of self-absorption. And here's the good thing. I believe, you know, God is so good. I believe that the rampant consumerism is causing us to crave covenant. See, there's the difference. There's the other choice of how you're going to live your life is to go from being a consumer in your relationships to being a covenant person in your relationships. The craving for covenant is the yearning that people in our life will actually value us as much as they value themselves. The Bible says of Jonathan that he made a covenant with David because he loved him as himself. That's covenant. Because we're not a covenant culture, and because our churches, even among Christian friends, we don't have a covenant mentality. We have insecurity that we try to internally change. See, have you noticed that? We try to fix everybody's insecurities by changing what goes on between their ears, by changing what's going on in their gut. We want to fix everybody's insecurity by fixing them. We want to fix our own insecurity by using drugs and alcohol or pills or whatever, or pornography. We want to fix our own insecurities with overachievement and workaholism. But what if we fixed our system? What if we fixed our community? What if we fixed our relationships? That would be a novel thought, that we start changing the way we relate to each other as an additional way to fix insecurity. Is that too abstract? What if we started being loyal? And so we brought the insecurity meter. A certain amount of insecurity is between your ears. It is your own responsibility. But what if we started changing the way we relate? What if we started having candor and honesty and being each other's champion, and we knew that within the circle of red carpet people in our life, it was going to be safe. It was going to be safe to be real. It was going to be safe to be daring. It was going to be safe to have dumb ideas. You're not hearing me today, are you? I don't think you're hearing me today. Maybe it's one of those time capsule things. 3 o'clock this afternoon. It'll explode in your heart. Call me. Text me. Everybody's got my cell phone number. We lose, and I'm not going to get off on this, but we lose three things. We lose three things when we're not loyal. Synergy, which is the energy of a lot of people working together. Candor, which is the value of honest feedback. And excellence. We lose excellence because it takes an army to create excellence. But here's the good news. The great Apostle Paul, who, like most of us, how many of you have ever been hurt by someone being disloyal? Raise your hand. It's not amazing that you've been hurt by someone being disloyal. What's amazing is you remembered it so quickly. Everybody, yep. Nobody even had to think about it. But Apostle Paul lets me know. I wish I had another 30 minutes. You're glad I don't, but I wish I did, to talk about, to really explore Apostle Paul and his, what I see in this text. Paul says to me, let me just give you the bottom line. Let me just race to the conclusion. Paul says to me, and when he talks about all these people, the ones who deserted him, the ones who are still with him, he said to me, he's saying to me, loyalty is an ideal and a virtue worth working for and waiting for. And it's worth getting over the people who've been disloyal to seek out those who will be loyal. It's worth it. Let me reread the text. Do your best to come to me quickly, for Demas, because he loved this world, has deserted me and has gone to Thessalonica. Crescens has gone to Galatia, and Titus to Dalmatia. Only Luke is with me. Get Mark and bring him with you, because he is helpful to me in the ministry. When you come, bring the cloak that I left with you at Carpus, with Carpus at Troas, and my scrolls, especially the parchments. I think Paul was like me. He's leaving stuff all over the place. Alexander the metal worker did me a great deal of harm. The Lord will repay him for what he has done. You too should be on your guard against him, because he has strongly opposed our message. At my first defense, no one came to my support. Paul made a note of that. No one came to my support. But everyone deserted me. He made a note of that. May God not hold him. May it not be held against him. But the Lord stood at my side and gave me strength, though throughout me the message might be fully proclaimed, and all the Gentiles might hear it, and I was delivered in the lines. Notice Paul did not say, the Lord stood with me, so I don't need you to come. The Lord stood with me. I got the Lord now, so I don't need you. No, he had the Lord, but he still said to Timothy, and he said to John Mark, and he said to Luke, I need you too. I need loyal people around me, and I need to be a loyal person to you. The text tells us four things about loyalty. Quickly, I'm going to give it to you. In life, there will be distracted deserters. Demas, the flake. Got attracted to this present world. I don't know what he got attracted to. I don't know if there's anything really sinful. It may not have been. It may just have been a great job somewhere. I don't know. In life, there will be loyal leavers. You know, I wish this wasn't true, but there's seasons in relationships. I know that. We can't get mad at everybody who leaves, who moves away, or who changes churches. We can't lose the victory, as the old timers used to say, because we have to accept the fact that sometimes relationships have seasons. But Paul still made note of it, though. Really? I want you to see that. Paul still made a note. They left me. I think implied that note is that it hurt. Right? In life, there will also be a third group, destructive adversaries. There will be people who will come into your life who mean you harm. They will be there. Alexander the coppersmith. These are the people who come in and blow you away. Because of Alexanders, we need Luke. Because of the Alexanders, we can't thrive if everybody on our team is a free agent. We need people who are loyal. Look back in verse 3. For the time will come when men will not put up with sound doctrine. Instead, they will, to suit their own desires, they will gather around them a great number of teachers to say what their itching ears want to hear. They will turn their ears away from truth and turn aside to myths. Number 4. In Christ, there will be a covenant community. Paul went from being a lone ranger to becoming a vulnerable person. We don't often see that about his conversion. We just think, well, he became a Christian. He became a believer in Jesus Christ. He not only became a believer in Jesus Christ, he became a needer. I don't know if that's a word. Needer, is that a word? He became a needer of people. I want you to know, when Jesus comes into your life, he makes you vulnerable. This is the transforming work that he wants to do, is make you vulnerable and soft and needy in a good way. Ability to reach out and let other people in. Christianity is primarily built on the paradigm of friendship. Listen to that. Christianity is primarily built on the paradigm of friendship. Jesus says, I don't call you servants, I call you friends. The Bible says, no greater love hath any man than he would lay down his life for his friends. The cross, listen to me. The cross of Jesus Christ. Jesus went to the cross on purpose. I said, Jesus went to the cross on purpose. And it was a very poor political decision. It was a very poor political decision to go to the cross. Going to the cross was a very poor business decision. It's not what the CEO does to build the company. Going to the cross was a very poor business decision. Going to the cross was a very poor PR decision. It's not what celebrities do. Going to the cross was a friendship decision. I said going to the cross was a friendship decision. And today, I want to leave this with you. And I'm going to come back. We're getting ready to honor a couple of people. And then I'm going to come back. And I want to pray for those of you who maybe today you would like to start your faith walk with Jesus Christ. Because you could hear this sermon today and you could really be inspired. I hope you are inspired to become a more loyal person. I believe the scripture can inspire us to be more moral in the way we live our lives. But don't leapfrog over Jesus. You can try that, but I'd like to invite you to understand that you need to give loyalty, but I want you to receive loyalty. I want you to receive the most loyal person you could ever bring into your life, and his name is the Lord Jesus Christ. Who said, I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. I will be with you till the end of the age. And I went to the cross to tell you that for your friendship, I will die to be your friend. And rather than you just go out of here today trying to be a loyal person, which you should go try to be a loyal person, but rather you just doing that, I'd like for you to receive the loyal presence of God into your life. Because you're going to fail, because you're human. You're not always going to be loyal like you should. You're going to stumble at this. Your best friends are going to stumble at times. But if they have the loyal Christ living inside of them and you have him living inside of you, he will fill in the missing pieces that other people leave in your life. I'm going to invite, I want to do it this way. And I know it may make you prayer partners a little uncomfortable, but I want the prayer partners to come and stand. Go ahead and get in place. And you just, please, don't be too self-conscious and just work with me here because we want to move the service along. And Sherry's going to come and honor a couple of people. Then I'm going to come back and I'm going to invite you to come forward for prayer and receive communion when Sherry's done. Thank you.
You know, it's easy to see a need because needs are easy to see. It's hard to be a need meter. And so this morning, I want to honor some people who have chosen to see a need and be willing to meet that need. And many of you know that Compassion New England has had a food pantry forever. We've had a food pantry here for so long, and the Coolbriths have been faithful to that, and others of you have been really faithful to that. But a couple years ago, John and Sharon Wentworth decided that they just wanted to be a part of a compassion garden. When I heard that, I'll be honest with you, the first thing that I thought was, wow, that's hard work. Because you got to pick up stones and move stones, and you've got to plow the ground, and you've got to be faithful to getting rid of weeds. I love the picture of a garden because it's like our life. Anything good, if we want to eat good fruit, we have to be willing to do what it takes to plant the right seeds and have those right seeds grow into fruit that's pleasant to eat and experience. And so this morning, even though there are so many people we could honor, just going to honor two people who have been very faithful to the Compassion Garden, very faithful to be the need meters. And so I'm going to ask Vicki Vignoni and Joanne Sutton to come. They're not the only two. Come on up, guys. They're not the only two, and I think their husbands help. And you know what else? Lots of other people help to make this an awesome place. And here's the thing about awards. Whoever receives an award has a long line of possibility people behind them, a long line of stone picker-uppers, and a long line of weeders, and a long line of harvesters. We just get to hold up little tokens like this. This is yours, Joanne, and this is yours, Vicki, that say, this matters. This is important. And we're going to honor what God honors. And so, Bethany Community Church, let's honor those people who have labored at Compassion Garden, not just these two, but the rest. Thank you, guys.
Thank you. Thank you, Sherry, Joanne, Vicki. Thank you so much. If you're here today and you need prayer for any reason whatsoever, if you're new to us, this is what we call response time. And we pray for any need in your life. We pray for people who are Christ followers. We pray for people who aren't Christ followers. We pray for people who it doesn't matter. But if you're here today and you heard what I said about receiving Christ, about letting him take your sins and letting him be the gap filler between your goodness and the goodness required by God, which you're not there and I'm not there. None of us are. One way you can express that is by coming forward and have these guys pray for you. You can also receive Christ right there and you don't have to come forward. But if you want someone to pray with you and you'd like to tell them so you can get some further help and with your walk, then come on up. These guys will pray for you. I'm going to say a quick prayer, and then you come if you need prayer for absolutely anything. After I'm done praying, we're going to remove in response time. There's communion here, and there's communion in the back. Go take communion. Let's do it. Father, thank you for the grace of God. Thank you for the spirit of honor that even fills this room right now. Thank you for the way you've honored us. You've actually bowed before us and honored us and washed our feet. Now may we return that to one another as we enter to this time of prayer. In Jesus' name.
You have been listening to the Bethany Community Church Podcast. For more information, please visit us online at bccma.org. Thank you, and God bless.